So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another London Media Lounge podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Steve Parker. What up, Steve?
Hello there. How are you?
Not bad at all. And today we have a great guest, Mr. CEO entrepreneur himself, Dr. Tamer Shaheen. Welcome, Dr. Tamer Shaheen. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad at all. How did you find the studio so far?
It's amazing.
Thank you so much, yeah. Man. What do you like most about it?
The beginning, middle and end. So you just sort of like brought me in and I saw this like green screen rooms, podcast rooms, like, you know, The Abyss.
Let's go. Yeah. I'm telling you people, The Abyss is going to be one of the most famous things that we'll ever do. Hopefully we'll get you next time, because today we're kind of limited on time. Next time we'll get you to do a session on The Abyss. So quickly people, The Abyss is a series where we get business professionals giving you the best advice on how to kind of carry on with your business. But if you want to find out more, check out our social media. But today is all about Dr. Tamer Shaheen. I need to hear your story, man. Your story is incredible and I want people to hear it. So I'm going to give you the floor to go on from the beginning. Don't miss a detail.
From the beginning. Right.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to tell you when I was born, but anyway, okay. Let's fast forward. Okay. I started off actually as a lecturer, professor at university. Yep. I had an engineering background. I got a PhD actually from just up the road here.
Let's go, Brunel University.
Brunel University, yep. Yeah. So, and I was lecturing at King's College in London. I was always passionate about education and I thought that we kind of lost our way. Education, what it is now, we've moved on and it's built back in the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
So it's made for factory workers and people to clock in and clock out. And I saw that whilst I was sort of like at King's, and I decided to leave because I wanted to actually try and fix education.
Yes.
And it wasn't being fixed from inside.
Right.
So I moved into government I went into the UAE and I was working there on a national productivity fund where we were funding small, medium, large businesses of all sizes. It was a $2 billion fund, which I sort of started and helped sort of grow. So we were funding businesses and we got to see what were the best practices, what the worst, you know, what to do, what not to do, all sorts of businesses. I also had several businesses on the side. Some of them were seven-figure businesses, some of them weren't. Some of them were successful, some of them weren't.
Yeah.
And in the end, I decided to, I thought that even in government, I couldn't fix it because it was basically still from the sort of the large corporate organizations where they were saying, this is what we want people to graduate into.
Yeah.
So that was what was dictating the education system.
That's crazy.
No, it's crazy,
hear.
Isn't
That's
it?
Crazy so, yeah. to hear. Yeah.
So people are being basically taught to follow, not to lead, not to take risk.
Much. Yeah.
And I decided I was earning a ridiculously high salary, middle six-figure salary.
Let's go.
Seriously, it was just, and I walked away. I'd invested in a company. I'd invested in several companies myself, and I'd invested in a company that I saw a potential in, and it was just four people. It was in the space of digital health. Mm-hmm. I'm an engineer by background, and it was basically, I said, this is really promising. Let's go in. So I moved in. Actually, from four, we went down to two people, and then we built it. Mm-hmm. Within 18 months, we'd built it to a $100 million company, and I was living an amazing lifestyle. There's a but that's coming. There's a big but that's coming. So it was like the amazing lifestyle. I had amazing sort of house, swimming pool, Ferraris. I had everything, and it was life was good.
Yeah.
And then 30 days, everything went belly up. Seriously, it just.
Wow.
I came back from the US. My house had flooded. And that's just the starting point. And basically the top floor had actually flooded onto the bottom floor. It had destroyed basically the floor and the furniture. Everything was gone.
Right.
And that was just the signs of things to come. We had delivered an eight-figure project to a very strong client in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say who it was. And after we delivered that, 3 days later, they came back to us and they said, we've changed our administration and we're not honoring any past contracts. And we had promised a lot of subcontractors. We had paid a lot of money. We had actually grown now where we were three branches across the world, in the US, in the UK, and in Dubai. And we were just absolutely devastated because we'd gone all into this project. And over there in Dubai, if you sign post-dated checks, that's how people do business. You sort of promise your subcontractors that we're going to pay you once we get paid. We weren't paid. We couldn't pay them.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to fire every single person inside the business. I then basically my business partner, who was flying back to the UK, his wife was giving birth to their third baby. Mm. He got arrested at the airport, and he called me up in the middle of the night and he said, come try and bail me out. I've been taken to prison. And he basically, I went there and it was, a lot of our subcontractors had filed cases against him. Right. He was the one who'd signed the contract, so he was personally liable. Not even if you're a limited company, you're personally liable to the checks you sign.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to sell absolutely everything I had. He couldn't. He didn't have the sort of the funds. I got my parents in the UK to remortgage their property out of retirement.
Oh man, and that must have been hard.
Seriously, I mean, and then basically I went from somebody who was incredibly successful to having £2 million personally in debt out of pocket.
Wow.
Literally everything that could go wrong at that point, it was going wrong. I had one person, I think two people were left in the business, and we thought maybe we can try and sort of rescue this at some point.
Yeah.
And we couldn't. I had my last car, which I was going to sell. It was a Mercedes S65 AMG. Right. And I was going to sell this so that I can afford paying the salaries for the last remaining employees that we had in the business so that we can keep it afloat. Mm. And as I went to the dealer to actually sell the car actually blew up in front of our face in the engine. It just went on fire. It had been serviced and they had forgotten to connect a hose, so it overheated and it just literally went on fire in front of the dealer. So I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up.
It sounds like spiritual. Seriously, it sounds like there's some paranormal activities going on here.
It was just everything that was possibly going wrong. It was going wrong. And wow. I just wasn't getting a break. In the end, I had to sit there and actually break my friends after I'd bailed him out of prison. Right. He had to break through his son's piggy bank, so we were actually collecting coins to see how we could afford to survive on food over the coming days. Anyway, I got him out of the country. We negotiated a deal with the subcontractors, and they dropped the cases, and we got him out of the country, which was great. I came back to the UK, and I was just, my brain was just in auto cruise.
Yeah.
So it just went on autopilot. I started up another company, which was another tech company. We got funded, we got an innovation award, and I gave a TEDx talk, and I sort of settled my debts, which is great.
Yes.
You say that's great, but it wasn't. I was still absolutely miserable because I had failed, and I still couldn't get over the fact that not only had I failed, but I had let a lot of people down.
Yeah.
A lot of these people that had relied on me, they'd moved their lives to Dubai, to other places, so that they can actually work in this business, and I just had to let them go. And there were still people that we owed money to that we couldn't pay all the amounts. People were calling me a thief, you know, and it was just one of those things where I became a hermit and I just hid away. So
how was that mentally, man?
I was suffering from PTSD. I mean, it wasn't sort of officially diagnosed, but I was waking up every single morning with extreme panic. Just every morning I would get up in bed, open my eyes, and I'd have this horrible feeling. And I decided, I wasn't going to take it anymore because I went and I spoke to a few people. If things are going wrong, speak to people that you really trust because they can give you. Most people will actually give you wrong information and advice. They'll tell you, oh, go get a job. Oh, go do this, you know, move on with your life.
Yeah.
But I went and I spoke to this person and he was having a conversation with me and he was basically saying, so why, you know, what's wrong? You know, why are you still going through this? Mm-hmm. This has been several years now. And I said, well, I feel guilty about these people. I was responsible. And he said, well, how is that person that you felt guilty for? And I said, well, actually, he's okay. And he said, well, how's that person? I said, well, she's okay.
Yeah.
And he said, well, how is your business partner who actually was in prison and got out? And I said, well, he's not great, but he's okay. He's moved back to the UK. He's with his family. Everything's fine. So he said, so what's your problem? So he was just like, oh, yeah, you've got a point. Yeah. And I think it was just inside my head that I had not failed at that level before.
Yeah.
And we have been treated in this society to grow up and fear failure. You can't fail, otherwise you'll get fired from your job. You can't fail. You can't fail at school. You can't fail in your job. You can't do this. And I just sat down and I thought about it and I said, let me go back and rewrite my narrative. So I just went back and I said, right, actually, we could have done things better. We could have actually put some safety nets in place.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you about, like, how could they go back after 3 days? We're not going to honor any previous contracts.
They were too strong for you to even take to court.
That's scale.
It's an eight-figure project, and that was a sort of a drop in the ocean for them. So we literally could not take them to court. We would have lost even more and not got anywhere. So we had to sort of like, you know, put our tails between our legs and come back and just accept what it is what it is. So I ended up saying, okay, actually, so this company that I was running, which was another digital health company, which was doing really well, I decided to let that go, hand it over to other people. And I started CEO Entrepreneur because at the time I was trying to grow my business. I was looking for coaches or people to give me advice. And I would hire coaches. I would hire even people from Tony Robbins' team or whoever. And hardly any of them had actually run a business in their lives except for a coaching company. Or they'd become sort of marketing gurus and all they knew was marketing. But actually understanding how to grow a business and actually when businesses go wrong and when, you know, what to do but what not to do, I couldn't find anyone. They were few and far between, especially to the scale of business that I'd grown it to. And I would keep asking certain coaches, what do you think I should do? And they would turn back and say, what do you think you should do? You know, this is
wow, and amazing advice.
You know, and I'd be like, I'm asking you. And they say, yeah, but this is about, you know, you getting clarity and getting your own reflection. What do you think you should do? I'd be like, damn it, tell me. I don't know. So I decided to start CEO Entrepreneur because I thought, you know, this should be a business for business owners, by business owners, who really sort of understands how what it takes to succeed in business, which we have done successfully, but also just as importantly, actually even more importantly, what it takes to fail and what not to do and how not to do them so that we can give shortcuts to people to actually not pay these expensive mistakes. And that's when I started CEO Entrepreneur, and it's been an amazing ride since.
I mean, listen, man, I just from the YouTube channel of CEO Entrepreneur, I can tell that this is very important project and very valuable for the business world. Like I told you, when I go through your videos, I'm like, this guy's giving this stuff for free? Like, this is incredible, man. And like you said, like, you had to go through it. And I think if you did not go through it and you're just making up stuff, you wouldn't give it for free. But I think you see the value of it, and the fact that you went through it. You don't want other people. You felt the pain.
Yes. And I think that was a conscious decision that we made. When I sort of sat down and looked at the strategy, yes, we're a business. Mm. We're going to make money from helping other businesses grow.
Yeah.
You know, we're not sort of hiding that. Yeah. However, we also know that there's a huge percentage of small business owners who will never be able to afford us, who will never be able to actually pay and never be our customers. But we decided that it was part of our mission to educate them as well.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why we grew the YouTube channel, where we say, look, actually, here's the advice.
Yeah.
Here's actually what to do. Here's what not to do.
Yeah.
And we believe that, you know, when you go and watch a movie, they put a trailer out and they give you the best clips of you know, for free. That's what we wanted to do. We said, actually, let's pick the best bits of what we're doing and actually put them out there. We're not going to hide, you know, the stuff where we say, actually, this is pay only and this is stuff. And I think that's the wrong way to approach business in general anyway. So
I understand that, but I think obviously the comparison with the trailer is a bit mismatched, because I feel like there's your videos is 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And within that 10 minutes, I'm literally, I have my notes with me. I'm like, okay, well, he talked about business processes and the system that I have. If I hire someone, how easy would they be integrated into my business? So, okay, is it, what I do easy to do? Is it easy to replicate? So it's stuff like that that I really find very interesting. And I can say on behalf of all small business owners, thank you very much for that. Thank you so
You're
much
welcome.
For that channel. That channel is incredible. People, it's in the description below, so you can go ahead and check it out. But so tell me, like, obviously the business itself is to help other businesses get through challenges and not to make the mistakes, but what made you decide to put it on YouTube and to go the video route?
So the video route was actually a fundamental part of our strategy. I mean, we wanted to, first of all, make, like you said, help small business owners become the CEO of their own businesses, understand how to run a business.
Yes.
And the way that we looked at a lot of the platforms out there, we knew that video is the thing to do at the moment. It's the quickest way for you to be able to get your message across in a way where we also wanted to make it educational but also entertaining.
Yes.
We wanted to make it like a fun thing to do so people can actually watch and still be entertained and still get a lot of value out of it.
Yeah.
And that would represent our brand, because the brand that we wanted to do, it's about being working on a personalized level. We want to work and help every single entrepreneur. You know, we've got a big vision. Single entrepreneur that, you know, in the world who can actually wants to run and grow a business, they have different sort of like visions. They have different needs. Their lifestyle, what they want out of a business, is no two businesses are going to be alike. Two business owners are going to be alike. And we said, well, actually, what we want to do is we want to create this personalized route for people to understand if you want to run a business in certain ways, this is how you do it. And the best way that we thought this was going to work was through video. It helps us, first of all, say who we are, what we stand for, what we don't stand for. It helps the exposure from a sort of a branding perspective and a positioning perspective of who we are in the market, what we've actually done in the past. And people can get to see that actually we know what we're talking about, hopefully. But I think that it also helps in a way. So it's interesting because actually when we started off the YouTube channel CEO Entrepreneur, we thought that it would take about 3 to 5 years before we could actually see it really monetize in a way where it would actually attract a lot of traffic for us in terms of clients and so on and so forth. We thought that the first 1 to 2 years, potentially 3 years, it would be a slow struggle and it would be basically something that we would grow in parallel with what we were doing as a business, you know, elsewhere in what we were doing. But actually that surprised us. What surprised us was that the reaction and the traction that we got from people watching these videos has already generated for us actually multiple ROI and what we've put into editing and what we've put into, and we hired out from day one because we wanted to position it as a certain sort of position in terms of the brand. We wanted to make sure that we were presenting our brand in the way that we felt was appropriate.
Right.
And again, video is one of the most amazing ways to do that because absolutely. You really can connect with people and they can really begin to understand who you are. Mm-hmm. And we've actually had clients that have come on, even though we're 1,300 subscribers at the moment, growing rapidly because YouTube has now actually, the algorithm has picked up that this is a valuable channel for people. So they've actually now started promoting the channel. We were looking at Social Blade about 4 or 5 months ago. Actually, Social Blade is a sort of a site that can actually look at your statistics and show you projections of where your channel is going in its trajectory. Mm-hmm. 5-6 months ago, when we were looking at Social Blade, it was saying that in the next 5 years we would be around about 5,000 subscribers. Now, if you look at it, it's saying we're going to be about 130,000 subscribers in the next 5 years, and that keeps changing every single day. And what we found that not only is it great for exposure and positioning and branding, but it's also actually a money making exercise, which we didn't expect so soon and so early. So if you are actually thinking about video, it is definitely the thing to do. It's not too late to do it. We started it just last year during the pandemic, and already we're seeing the fruits of it. So from a business perspective as well.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful to hear. This is exactly what we do. So literally you just marketed my business quickly for me right there.
You're welcome. I'll have the check later.
We'll talk about that later on. But yeah, it's incredible that a lot of people, and I see even in our community, as much as you are old school, but you got to understand, man, you got to get with the times and small, your competitors, if they decide to go for video, you're gone because people will trust them. They see them. They see their personalities. There is an ease of doing business there. Your advertising. And also one thing about that I like about video is like it's a marketing asset that you own forever and you can keep using it. And it's always there. Video is definitely the way forward. So let me ask you this, because one of the challenges of doing video and posting all the time is how do you stay consistent? How do you write your ideas to kind of like, tell me your schedule and how do you come up with the ideas?
So that's a really good question. And it's something actually, to be honest, we've struggled with in the last couple of like months. So when we first started out, we batched recorded a lot of videos and ideas. We've got a calendar. We've got a list of topics that we have found through people asking us questions, which we're actually going to start doing, I think, from next week. We're going to have an extra video per week, which is called 3-Minute Thursdays, where we're answering people's questions.
Nice.
And that's actually a way of just, you know, pushing out content. It's absolutely. Just, you know, and giving people their promotion as well, where you say this person from this company is asking this question. So that's something that we're going to start doing. But in terms of the topics as well, we found that going through to other channels and seeing what are really popular videos on those channels, but actually the questions, the comments are much more important actually than the video itself. Yeah. Because you see a lot of people asking these questions and saying, okay, what about this? What about that? Mm-hmm. And these are gives us sort of ideas for topics
the one, yeah.
for the next one. But also we've got our Firestarter program, which is a 12-month program for six-figure plus entrepreneurs. And in there, we go through strategy, we go through systems and processes, we go through finance, we go through marketing, sales, building your team. And we've got a wealth of information already in that,
right.
that we can sort of take certain elements out of it and say, actually, that's going to be useful for a standalone video.
I see.
So we do that. And what we're trying to do now is we're trying to sort of get where I block out half a day per week. And I just batch record we do a lot of research. I've got a team as well at the moment now.
Nice.
In the beginning, I used to research the videos myself, but now we've got a team behind that sort of machine, if you will.
Yeah.
They actually do the research, they do the SEO, they do everything to start with, and they'll put some sort of bullet points in terms of what I should be sort of talking about, and then I just turn on the camera and talk. I don't like scripts. So that's kind of how we're doing it at the moment, and we're trying to sort of get that where it's a routine that you set of, like, say, right, I block out half a day a week,
mm-hmm.
and that half a day is just
recording.
Yeah.
And you give them about, what, 4 hours worth of footage, and they'll be like, okay, so there's at least 6 videos here, guys, so do your magic.
Yeah, it's hopefully that's going to be the idea. it's not there yet. So within the 4 hours, I would probably have about, I'd still sit down and think about what I'm going to say and why I'm going to say it. So maybe I think half of that is recording.
Okay.
And then from there, editing is very, very important, because we wanted to make sure that we get that retention as well. So not everything that I say actually gets put on there. So there's bits that are cut out and edited. And I think that's really important for content creators in general, as they're looking through, is just really edit and make sure that people are sitting there saying, okay, here's one nugget after the other.
And I think you do a great job in doing that. That's why I told you when you got here, is that your videos, I stay the entire, because you miss out, like, there's nothing, like, one thing sets up the next thing, and you know, next thing you know is the end of the video, and watch part two now, you know what I mean? So it's amazing like that. I do encourage a lot of the people that come and see us, who are directors of different companies, and I tell them, don't overthink it. Come to the studio just in half a day, and I'll give you content for the next 2 months. You know, as long as you have your ideas, we can discuss them. We can do training, one-on-one training about the ideas, the script, and what sounds attractive and whatnot. And then come here and do bulk content, because you're a CEO, you're director of your company, you got stuff, you got deals to go after. Why are you creating content like that? That's why we're here. That's why companies like London Media Lounge exist. That's why companies like GL Pro, shout out to GL Pro, exist. You know, it's for to help you with that and not miss out on this new trend, this new tsunami, not even a wave, tsunami of video content that is literally getting the world together. It's crazy, because I speak to some business partners that they tell me how they work with companies in the US and they've never met them. You know, they never met them. It's only online, and they met them through video.
Yeah.
They saw a video of theirs. I'm like, dude, I love your energy, man. How can we help each other?
I think we've got a new cohort that's starting on our Firestarter program this September, actually this month. And I think 60-something% are from the US.
Yeah.
And they found me via the YouTube channel.
There
and
you obviously go.
So it works, and it just gives you a whole sort of, it doesn't become just a local play, it's a global play. And it's not too late to start, because I hear a lot of people saying it's too late to start, you know, video is saturated, my market is saturated. But movies have been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
People haven't stopped making new movies.
Yeah.
And it's just, this is the new medium for content creators to actually do. So
absolutely,
if you've got something valuable to say, say it. And then the other thing that I see is that people sit there and try and edit the videos themselves,
mm-hmm.
which I made a sort of a decision from day one. I wasn't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be an investment, because my time is worth more than that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to block out half a day, and then the editing gets done separately away from me. It gives me the right positioning, the right branding. It's done professionally, and I don't have to sit there and waste time doing editing where I can actually be making deals for infinitely more money in that time frame.
Back to that point that you said, where people say, oh, my market is saturated and whatnot. Let me tell you something, your market could be saturated, but there is not another you out there. a lot of people don't mistake the fact that video is just not you're giving tips and whatnot. No, people get attracted to your personality, your style, your voice, your energy, and they want to work with you. A lot of people do not understand that. It's like there is not another you out there. The universe has created one algorithm for you, and that's programmed within you. There's no one with the same equation as you. So go out there and find your people. Your people will find you. Your business partners, your clients, they will find you, man. Do not deprive yourself of this amazing thing that we're seeing happening nowadays. I wish you best of luck with it, man.
Thank you.
I think you're doing a great job, and you are definitely an inspiration for me and many people out there. Let's talk a little bit about me now. Let me take a little advantage of you being here. So we spoke about like what we do, London Media Lounge. We're a studio, we're content creators. We coach people to kind of do more content, create more content. We help them, give them techniques. We especially when it comes to LinkedIn and social media and how to capture people's attention when they're scrolling down, help people find you. I've done your quiz.
Yeah.
When we first kind of got in touch on LinkedIn, I've done your quiz. And one of the main thing that was missing out, that the quiz pointed out, is that we were lacking purpose. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about purpose. And when you work in anything in life, to be honest, purpose is very important. So how does one go about finding the especially when it comes to business? Because a lot of people go into business, I want to be financially free. I don't want a boss. I want to be rich, blah, blah, blah. But that's not a good enough purpose, because once you make a little bit of money, it's going to be hard to kind of wake up feeling the same motivation that you had day one. So how do you go about fixing that?
So that's a really good question, and it's not one that you can sort of answer in 5 minutes. But yeah. To start with, purpose is really, really important and very underestimated in the really small businesses. Mm. Once you get beyond the medium size, the large size businesses, you'll see they have mission, vision, yeah. purpose, strategy. And a lot of small business owners say, well, we don't have time for that. But actually, that is where you should be starting when you're looking at your business, because that's what's going to dictate everything. Why are you doing what you're doing? Mm. Is it and what is your end game?
Right.
Because I think that that's really important, because there are so many different potential outcomes. Are you building a business so you can be financially free? But then what does that mean? Does that mean that you're not going to be in it in 10 years or 20 years time? Or does that mean you're going to be handing it over to family? Are you going to get it sold? Are you going to, have investors come in, IPO, whatever? There are so many different options and opportunities in terms of what you're going to do. So you need to basically sit there and say to yourself, okay, so what's my end game? And what's the end game for my business? And they are two actually very different things.
Yeah.
Because your end game for your business is not sort of tied directly to what the business does after you leave that business. Because if you sell it, it carries on doing what it needs to do. And being able to sit down and basically say to yourself, right, okay, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. How often do you have to remind yourself of that? Obviously, you understand like the day-to-day activity here. I come in here and I'm like, oh, okay, I need to do this, then that. If it wasn't for my schedule, I like to write stuff down. I have a list.
Yeah.
If I don't get those things done, the next day is going to be even more hectic. So how often do you have to sit down with yourself and be like, okay, my vision is to make sure I get deals in this industry?
All right. So first of all, your business mission and vision and purpose will dictate how you build your strategy for your business. Mm. So it's not something that you need to necessarily visit every single day or every month or every year. Mm-hmm. It's something that you sit down right to the beginning of your business, and it will be updated over time, maybe every 3 years when you're sort of looking at your strategy, maybe every year as a review, but then a fundamental sort of change comes every 3 years or so.
Yeah.
So what you do is you sit down and you say, right, what is my purpose? What is my end game? Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. What is the reason? Is there, is it for us, for example, is that we believe that, education is rubbish at the moment, and we want to make sure that entrepreneurs around the world get the right kind of guidance. And we believe that every single entrepreneur has a different purpose for their business, so that what we're going to offer them is not generic rubbish. We're going to offer them a personalized journey for everyone, no matter how much we scale the business. So even as we're doing group programs like the Firestarter program, it's still a very personalized journey, even within that sort of thing.
Right.
So when you're looking at your strategy, I'm going to give you an example and I'm going to ask you. So when we've looked at CEO Entrepreneur, we said, right, that's the purpose. Mm. That's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. We want to get to as many entrepreneurs as possible across the world, give them the right kind of guidance and set up so that they can build the business they desire, so that they can live the lifestyle they want.
Right.
That's our purpose and that's our vision. And then when you look at the strategy that we do beyond that, that then dictates your products and your offerings and your services.
Yeah.
And then you're basically saying, right, okay, so if we're doing this fire starter program and now it's time to scale and we're doing a group program, there is no way that we cannot still include personalized journey inside that program. So then it dictates your products, it dictates your services,
whatnot,
it dictates everything that you do. And then when you're saying, right, if we're targeting everyone here, what kind of price points do we need to put at? What kind of, you know, And all of that sort of sits down as you're beginning to think of your strategy, and that's how what builds your business. Otherwise, you're going to go to your business like you're saying. You come in and you do the day to day things, and they might not be aligned to your vision.
Yeah.
You might be doing things that are actually not aligned, not, you know, coherent, and you're doing one thing that's completely opposing another thing.
Yeah.
And you hear someone tells you, you know, you need to run Facebook ads, and the other person tells you you need to do this, and you know, you need to have this funnel, and you need to have a lead magnet. And you're sitting down going absolutely crazy trying to do all of the latest trends, and they might be completely opposed to what you actually need to do in your business. And one of the things that you look at every single successful business over the last hundreds of years, every single successful business that has grown, they've grew up. Remember, even Apple grew out of a garage.
Yeah.
So everyone starts from zero. Every single successful business has grown because they had a strong mission and a strong vision, and they built their strategy around that. So that's what you need to be asking yourself. So let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
What is it that you want to achieve in the next 10 years? Give me a sort of a...
Okay, so... let me give you a quick kind of like thinking about this, you know. I feel like in video, it's hard to lie. You know, it's hard to lie on video. It's hard to lie to people too much, especially when you're consistent. When you see someone who's consistent with their video, from my experience, when I see someone super consistent on their video on LinkedIn, I can tell that they're keeping the same energy. He has not, you know, he's not faking the funk here. And if he's really helping people, he really is helping people. And the testimonials are real. He's bringing people into the videos. I'm talking about, there are a lot of businesses there that are shady. I don't want them to survive anymore. I want the real ones to survive, right? So that's why I love video. Secondly, and this kind of ties into what you guys are doing, I really found it difficult. I'm doing my PhD, but I really had a terrible time in university so far, man. Yeah. I really have had a terrible time in university. And I learned most of my stuff from video. You know, a lot of this business has been built by me watching videos. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I know the value of video. I understand the value of video. I don't need to pay that. You know, I do not want to discourage people from going to university because I have a master's, a first class distinction master's and stuff like that. I can't tell you not to go to university.
I've got a PhD.
You got a PhD.
But honestly.
Yeah.
I mean.
You know,
it means it's getting to mean much less as the years
go by. Thank you. That's the best way to put it. It's starting to mean nothing. A lot of people have masters out there. A lot of people are getting there, are literally carrying on into, like me, I'm carrying on to PhD and actually hopefully getting my PhD very soon. But that still, I don't see like how is that going to help me if I just have that piece of paper there. Mm. You know what I mean? So education is way more than that. So I feel like I really want to help out the real coaches, the real people that, you know, can really help people. Not, you don't need to be a professor in the university to help someone. You don't need, and also, again, I really feel bad for people who are in debt right now. All of my friends, luckily I'm not. Mm. Luckily I'm not in debt, but a lot of my friends are in huge debt.
Yeah.
You know, because they went to uni.
Yeah.
Because you got educated.
And it will take you 20 years to pay off your debt.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're working in like 9-to-5 jobs with a boss. And if they do not show up, you know, they're gone. It's like, what kind of life is this? Obviously, I understand there's 8 billion people here in this planet. And we have to have system, a monarchy, and kind of hierarchy and whatnot. But... dude, there are better ways. You know, there are better ways. So kind of London Media Lounge kind of is tying up everything that I'm doing, you know, kind of like who I am and what I believe in through the business, right? So I'm trying to kind of do that. I'm trying to get, like I said, we're trying to get contracts with schools and whatnot. So I really want to go down that route because I really feel terrible when I'm reaching to people just to pay bills.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel fake and I feel like a hypocrite and I do not want to feel that way. So it has to be about the person for me to engage, kind of. So I don't know if I answered the question, but that's the best I can do right now.
I think there's a lot of nuggets in there, and I think it needs to be sort of distilled. But I'm hearing a lot of themes. I'm hearing this theme of education, but also finding the right people and being able to amplify their voice and their brand through video.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then that's still a very, very noble purpose. And it's something that you then need to sit down and say, all right, okay, so what's my vision? What's the mission? Mm-hmm. What do we need to achieve? Mm-hmm. How do we tie this together and actually formulate a company that gets us to achieve that? What's out there as well in terms of other companies?
Right.
And how are we going to differentiate ourselves from that?
Right.
And then that will then dictate how you start expanding, whether you're expanding the editing side, whether you're expanding the studio side, mm-hmm. whether you're expanding the offers in terms of what you're doing, whether it's actually how are you going to vet these people to say, I don't want rubbish out there. Are you going to get people to apply? So there are a whole bunch of things, and I'm not saying that you should, but what I'm saying is that then dictates everything that you do inside your business, and it will give you a coherent path and a direction inside your business where it's focused and it's really, really sort of like targeted and sort of laser beam. And then once you focus and you understand what you need to do, then it's about optimizing that. It's about going through and saying, right, okay, let me simplify. Let me optimize.
Yeah.
That didn't work. Okay, let me try a different thing. That worked. Okay, how do I... And then it's about measuring, tracking, measuring, optimizing. And that's, if you want the secret of actually any successful business, that is that. You don't need anything else. You don't even need to come and buy our course or anything like that. That is your secret. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more to it.
Of course,
than that.
Of course.
But what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people sit there and try and say, you know, what's the secret of growing a business? And this guy, you know, did this and this guy did that. And they were overnight successes. They're probably in 20 years in the making. You know, you there's a lot of things that happen in place in any successful business that's sustainably successful, because you could have an overnight success that happens and then it just fizzles out a year later because they can't, like, you know, look at their cash flow and then or their strategy is different, or they try different things and they all kind of goes down. So when you're starting to look at successful businesses that are sustainably successful and they carry on through the years and through the decades, that's what they do. Yeah. That's all they do.
They know
they
exactly
sit there and they build systems around the strategy, around their mission and purpose, and actually sit there and optimize those systems and make them consistent and optimized. That's it.
Amazing. Thank you so much for the advice. Obviously, I want to follow up with so many questions, but I know we're limited on time.
I know.
But I do want to set up hopefully our next podcast that we're going to do by asking you this question.
Right.
Please briefly, how are you looking at education right now? Like, we spoke about it briefly, but what, you've been a professor. Yeah, at King's College.
Yeah.
And you taught, you were a lecturer. What's the problem? And how, like, what's the problem, man? Like, what's going on?
So the problem I think is that we've got lost in terms of our purpose for what the education system is supposed to do. It was born from the Industrial Revolution, the one that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically there to clock in, you know, and clock out factory workers. Yeah. And our world has moved beyond that. We are now, like you can see, we've got the sort of the one person solopreneur businesses that are content creators and things like that, and how you market your message, and the internet has changed. And you've got this education system that's sitting there trying to tell you to fear failure. You know, don't fail, because if you fail, you fail your exam. Mm. You can't get into a good job. If you go to your job, you know, don't fail.
Yeah.
And actually, the world is now all about taking these calculated risks. And if you're going to be trained and educated to survive within this new world that we've got, even past the pandemic, it's about making sure that you are able to take the right risks at a calculated measure and being able to lead and being able to actually show your voice, whether it's through video, whether it's through other content creation, or whether it's just even as a service-based business or you know, a brick and mortar business. You still need to understand what to do and how to take these risks and be able to do that. And what we're trying to do at CEO Entrepreneur when we're looking at education is making sure that we're not only telling people how to succeed, but we're telling people how to fail and how to embrace failure, because every business that's actually going to succeed is going to have to go through a several series of mini failures to actually get to the point that you're actually doing. But what do you do, and how do you actually put a contingency plan in place where actually when you do fail, you have a backup plan from day one? So you're saying, right, I'm going to do this, but if it doesn't work, then I'm going to try this and it's acceptable. And being able to do that and making sure that we're actually providing a personalized service in the same way that customization has happened in sort of cars and other things and everything that you're doing, everyone learns in a different way. And we're still giving the same information to people in a classroom, and we're expecting everyone to absorb that information in the same way. We're doing some, and we're actually starting just with entrepreneurs at the moment, where we're saying, hey, if you're a service-based business or a product-based business, your finance and cash flow is going to be completely different, because you're going to need to look at inventory here where you don't in a service-based business. Mm-hmm. So actually we're beginning to modify even the course material that we're giving so that it's tailored to the right person. And then you start looking at sort of algorithms like what Facebook and YouTube are doing when they're presenting those videos for you, because they're learning who you are, and you've got these machine learning that's actually saying, right, this is who, this is what they're interested in. Yeah. We want to do that for education. We want to be able to say, right, actually, this is what we serve you that's personalized and customized to you. And I think that should be the way that education should be going towards, not publications and funding, because that's kind of what a lot of the universities are doing right now.
Yeah.
What kind of rankings do they have? How much funding do they get? And it's kind of lost its purpose that actually your customer is your student, and not your funding and sort of rankings.
Yeah. And there's a lot I hear... I've seen a lot of podcasts with professors, and they talk about the corruptions in terms of funding and what type of results need to come out and stuff like that. But I would say that's a topic for a different discussion.
Yeah.
If you guys want to hear that discussion, make sure to stay up to date to the London Media Lounge podcast. But I know we're limited on time, so I do want to let you go. So
Thank you. We have
arrived to the last part of the show, which is the quick fire round. So please help yourself to the ball right in front of you. There are so many different questions. You can choose three questions to answer, and then we would like you to leave your mark here by asking a question. So go ahead.
What superpower would you like to have? Ah, oh, dear. I think being able to read people's minds.
Ooh, that's a very interesting one. Yeah. Why is that? Because you want to close every deal you're going
to. Not about closing. It's about being able to serve people better, you know, in that way. Because if we've just been talking about a personalized service, I want to be able to understand what you want out of your life and how can I serve you better.
Oh, that's a very noble way, because I was thinking the evil way. I want to control this person.
Yeah, let's do that too.
Yeah. Go ahead, second question.
What is the future of education?
Oh, wow, we just answered that. So you can pick another one, actually.
No, that's gone. Number three is, what's your favorite restaurant or takeout?
Oh, yes.
I love sushi.
Oh,
Sushi.
My sister is a sushi addict, man. But sometimes, you know, some restaurants do get it right. So not all of them, but there are some of them.
But I like the smaller ones, not like the Yo Sushis and so. I like the really smaller ones where they're a family and they actually know how to do proper sushi.
That's awesome.
Because when you go to Japan, it's completely different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it different taste?
Not when you go to the smaller ones, the family ones that are sort of in here in London and other cities, they're very similar. But actually, the Yo Sushis and the other things, it's become a lot more sort of Westernized.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I'll definitely, Japan is definitely one of my spots to visit very soon. But yes, thank you so much, Dr. Shaheen. It's been amazing talking to you, and
likewise.
I look forward to our next discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tamer Shaheen.
Thanks.